There was a man of the Pharisee sect, Nicodemus, who was a prominent leader among the Jews. And late one night, he visited Jesus and said, "Rabbi, we all know you're a teacher straight from God. No one could do all the God-pointing, God-revealing acts you do if God weren't in on it." And Jesus said, "You're absolutely right. Take it from me. Unless a person is born from above, it's not possible to see what I'm pointing to God's kingdom." "How can anyone," said Nicodemus, "be born who has already been born and grown up? You can't re-enter your mother's womb and be born again. What are you saying with this born from above talk?" And Jesus said, "You're not listening, so let me say it again. Unless a person submits to this original creation, the wind hovering over the water creation, the invisible moving the visible, a baptism into a new life, it's not possible to enter God's kingdom. When you look at a baby, it's just that, a body you can look at and touch, but the person who takes shape within it is formed by something you can't see and touch. The spirit becomes a living spirit. So don't be surprised when I tell you that you are to be born from above, out of this world, so to speak. You know well how the wind blows this way and that. You hear it rustling through the trees. You have no idea where it comes from or where it's headed next. That's the way it is with everyone born from above by the wind of God and the Spirit of God." Nicodemus asked, "What do you mean by this? How does this happen?" And Jesus said, "You're a respected teacher of Israel, and you don't know these basics? Listen carefully. I am speaking sober truth to you. I speak only of what I know by experience. I give witness only to what I have seen with my own eyes. There is nothing secondhand here, no hearsay. Yet instead of facing the evidence and accepting it, you procrastinate with questions. If I tell you things that are plain as the hand before your face and you don't believe me, what use is there in me telling you things you can't see, the things of God? No one has ever gone up into the presence of God except the one who came down from that presence, the Son of Man. In the same way that Moses lifted up the serpent in the desert so the people could have something to see and then believe, it's necessary for the Son of Humanity to be lifted up, and everyone who looks upon him, trusting and expectant, will gain a real life, eternal life. This is how much God loved the world. God gave the only Son, the one and only Son, and this is why, so that no one need be destroyed, but by believing in him, anyone can have a whole and lasting life. God didn't go to the trouble of sending the Son merely to point an accusing finger, telling the world how bad it was. The Son came to help, to put the world right again. Anyone who trusts in him is acquitted. Anyone who refuses to trust in him has long since been under the death sentence without knowing it. And why? Because that person's failure to believe in the one-of-a-kind Son of God when introduced to him. This is the good news of Jesus the Christ. All right, so today's passage, now we're going to make a switch, is this. You're blessed when you feel you've lost that which is most dear to you. Only then can you be embraced by the one most dear to you. Amen. You know, Lent calls on us, doesn't it, to do this reflection and do some reflections and memories and thoughts that are probably not exactly comfortable. Amen. I realized this morning as I was getting ready for church that this is March already, that come April 26th at 5:40. That's the time that my mom passed. Yeah, ask me how I know that. Well, it's my mom, right? But you know, the...
It hasn't been a year.
I always try to sit there and think, I'm going to get past this stuff, but it's there. It's right there. The stuff that challenges you is right there. James talked about his parents today, the issues that they're challenged with. You don't get rid of that. It sits there in front of you, and you have to deal with it. And so now we have this verse that says, but you're not going to be blessed until you've lost
everything.
It seems like everything. Only then can you embrace the one near. And I remember a pastor telling this sermon, and I'm going to share it a little more on Good Friday. But he talked about what our faith walk is like, right? And that this verse actually points towards it. And he called his sermon, It's Friday. Sunday's coming. And he talked about the fact that we are all faced with challenges. And those challenges push on us. And it's really, really hard for us sometimes to get from one day to the next, let alone one Sunday to the next, to get through the stuff that we're faced with, the stuff that scares us, the stuff that makes us wonder, are we going to get this done correctly and on time? And he sat there and he said, you know, for Jesus, Jesus' ministry was like that. Because we do. We get into Holy Week and what? Everything goes to hell in a handbasket, amen? Everything. His friends, his supposed friends, quit supporting him. One of his own disciples is going to betray him. Another one who says that he really gets the message denies that he ever knew him.
Not once, but three times.
Yeah, well, there you go.
Doesn't it also say that we can create as many rituals and everything as we want to, but it's going to be God's time and not ours?
Well, there you go. And, you know, that is the point of it may be Friday, but Sunday is coming. It is the point of this verse is that, folks, when you are pressed up against it, it is in those times that you meet God, that God comes to you. It is those times that if you stop and take a breath and think about it, that the presence of God is right there with you. I remember we went out to spend time with my mom the last week that she was here. And one of the questions that I asked her was, how was she handling this? Because I was always so impressed with the way that she chose to die, the way that she chose to handle the diagnosis of having terminal cancer, that it wasn't going to get better. She was ready to meet God. And her exact quote to me was, when I asked her how she felt about it, she said, and I quote, "It's difficult at times, but you know what? I know nothing but peace and joy at meeting God." What an incredible understanding. What an incredible way. She had, at this point, lost everything that she normally did. Amen? She couldn't get up, move around on her own. She was confined to bed. And yet, in that moment, she was content. In fact, she was a little angry at her body for it not giving out quite as fast as she wanted it to. How about this? How about you wanting to meet God? Because God has come to meet us. God has done so. If you look at the Beatitudes, you know, that's one of the things that Jesus was telling us with the Beatitudes, is that these are the ways that God meets us. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those that mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek, they inherit the earth. Blessed are those who are hungry and thirst for righteousness. Blessed are the merciful. Blessed are the pure in heart. Blessed are the peacemakers, and blessed are those who get persecuted falsely. It's all of those things that put you up against the wall, and there you are, with no place else to go, and you understand what? That God is present with you. Those words simply mean this. There are those living out their lives in faith, those who go about seeking what to do and right, those who are able to feel their pain and express it. You see, God encounters them, God inhabits them, God gives them strength. That is when you know that you are embraced by the one that is most dear to you. It might be Friday, but Sunday is coming. The Reverend William Sloan Coffin, some of you have heard of him. He was a famous Episcopal priest from the 60s. He was anti-war and just an incredibly smart guy. Lost his son in a tragic car accident. And he said, while the words of the Bible are true, grief renders them unreal. Ouch. But that was only for a time. You see, the more his friends reached out to him with love and care, the more he began to experience the comfort that they offered, until eventually those timeless, truthful words of Scripture came alive for him once more. Cast your burden on the Lord, and God will sustain you. Weeping may linger for the night, but joy comes in the morning. For you have delivered my soul from death and my feet from falling, so I may walk before God in the light of life. I have said this to you, so that in me you may have peace. In the world you face persecution and tribulation, but take courage. I have overcome the world. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness didn't overcome it. Blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. By whom? Do you ever wonder why Jesus doesn't tell us who's going to give us the comfort? Think about that for a second. Hang on that for a second. Why doesn't Jesus tell us that? Because it's different for each of us. For some, the comfort may come from a plate of chocolate chip cookies. For others, it comes as a sympathy note in the mail. For others, it takes the form of a friend who sits with you and holds your hand as you make your way through the dark night of your soul. For others, the comfort may come through Scripture or prayer, or that peace that God gives you that surpasses anything else that you understand. But sooner or later, we begin to feel it. The comfort that comes when we mourn. The comfort that comes when we think we have lost it all. We find that indeed we are blessed, just as Jesus promised. And we rediscover happiness. We rediscover the joys of life. For weeping may linger, folks, for a night. But then comes the morning. It may be Friday, but Sunday is coming. So one of the greatest blessings I think that Jesus has proclaimed in that Sermon on the Mount, if we call it that, is about blessed is the one who mourns, the one who has lost everything, because you will indeed be comforted. You hear all the prayers that we heard this morning? Man, there's a lot of loss there. But understand, the promise of comfort that Jesus offers is not something superficial or fleeting, but rather it is a deep, deep abiding peace in the midst of that sorrow and pain. It is the assurance that God hears us, understands our grief, and will provide strength to carry on in spite of it. The promise that can be found all throughout Scripture, Isaiah 61, which says, to all who mourn in Israel, God will give a crown of beauty for ashes, joyous blessings instead of mourning, festive praise instead of despair, In their righteousness, they will be like great oaks that the Lord has planted for God's glory. The promise that we have this morning in Matthew 5:4 is the assurance from God that God will not leave us alone in our grief and most challenging times. Rather, God will walk us through it, providing strength and comfort all along the way. The comforting presence of God brings hope and peace to those who mourn, even when it seems dark, difficult, and never-ending. So if you're feeling this morning overwhelmed, if you have pain this morning, if you feel like you have challenges that go beyond any of your strength, take heart, because Jesus brings you comfort. Jesus is with you in your grief, will provide you strength and peace that only comes from Him. It might be Friday, but Sunday is coming. Amen.